Hi, I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia.
Welcome back.
Hello, listeners.
This little musical we got there.
I know. And then I actually kind of sound old. Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming back.
Oh, gosh. How's your week? How was your week?
It was extremely stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those weeks where I just was like, I'm just working for the weekend.
Yeah.
It was rough. It was really, really rough.
I've had a really rough, like, I don't know if it's been like, I think it's been like a week, maybe 2 weeks worth of just like really shit mental health.
Hmm.
But like, you know me well enough to know, like, I do this thing every like 3 to 6 months where I just like,
cry in the shower,
like blow up and just like completely lose my mind a little bit. So we're due for one of those.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of where we're at right now. But gotcha. You know, it's good now. I'm here. We're talking about murder.
Drinking coffee.
We're drinking coffee.
You're here with me.
I'm here with you, and we're talking about some murder.
I mean,
what could be better?
Nothing. And are we twerking? Are we twerking?
We're twerking about murder.
Twerking about murder. Get it. Okay, so we're not talking about murder today, right?
There's a little bit of murder in here, but that's not like the main topic. We've got some, this is kind of, I always wanted to do one like this, and I finally, like, as I was researching, and I did this research the day after I got my second COVID vaccine when I was still feeling okay and thought I was going to come out here and record with you.
Yeah.
And then I called Holly like 2 hours before I was come out here, and I was like, I'm dying.
And I was like, good. Not because I wanted her to die. I was a little concerned because I hadn't finished my research. And I was like, this is never going to get done. And I got to get my kid and my friends here. And I don't know what to do. And so.
And then I called and I was like, I'm dying.
And I was like, yay. But oh, I'm so sorry. But yay. Yeah. You know.
But mixed feelings. I feel better now. You know, I'm totally vaccinated now.
Same.
Feeling good. I felt really bad for like 24 hours, but you know, I'll take it. I'd do it over again to not, you know, get the COVID and get to like be, you know, a normal amongst member friends. Of society again, exactly. Which is super nice.
Yeah. So take the hit.
Yeah. Get your vaccine, folks. That's your PSA for the week.
All right. I want to know, what is this story about?
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Weston State Hospital.
Where is that?
That is in West Virginia.
Okay.
So we're going to go to West Virginia and talk about this hospital. And the way I've kind of set this up is we're going to go through, like, the history of the building, like, kind of what happened and how we got here. And, you know, and it dives into a little bit more of, like, what did mental health care look like in the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah, not great. So that in and of itself is its own crime. But then we're going to dive into some more supernatural and craziness that kind of comes out of places like this.
This hits on, you know, I love stuff about mental health, and you know, I love creepy haunted. So
this is it.
This is a win. I'm so excited. Okay, I'm gonna suck my drink and listen.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about Weston State Hospital. It opened on October 22nd, 1859.
So pre-Civil War.
Wow.
This
was the first institution of its kind in West Virginia. They didn't have anything like this before. It is said to be the largest hand-cut stone building in the United States.
Wow.
And we have a hand-cut stone building in my town that they've just turned into apartments, and it's beautiful.
Yes,
like, the outside of that building is really, really cool. And they last forever. That building's been there.
Oh, yeah.
Forever. It's
gorgeous. Gorgeous.
So, yeah, the building's still, it's still there. This one is. So it's kind of crazy. But this building is huge. because it contains more than 9 acres of floor space under a 3.5 acre roof.
Wow.
Which an acre is, it's a lot of land. It's a lot of land.
We're not specific, but
it's a lot of land.
It's a lot of land.
Yeah. You can just take our word for it.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So in the late 1850s, the Virginia legislature authorized that the hospital to be called the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. Remember, this is the 1800s. So we're not using great names in language here.
You know, even on the census, they had a section for, like, deaf, dumb, you know, lunatic. Like, yeah. I mean, they would just write stuff like that, so...
Well, and the census, you know. Like, that stuff didn't change till like, 10 years ago.
Well, less than that, but, you know, or more than that. But still, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's been... Huh.
So, that's so really, we really want to ensure the care of these individuals. Like, hey, are you a lunatic? You know.
Oh, and we're going to get to talking about what people got here for, and that's going to be super fun.
Yeah, probably something like, you know, depression.
Oh, even better than depression. Mm. So, the name did not stick for long, which
good,
you know, great. And was changed in 1863 to West Virginia Hospital for the Insane. So a little bit better than lunatic.
Right.
Still not great. Mm-hmm. But then it was changed to Weston State Hospital in 1913. So
that's much better.
We're a little, yeah, a little bit better there.
Yeah.
But from the get-go, there were problems. Construction began on the building in 1858 with the use of prison and slave labor.
Of course.
In parentheses, I have ew. Like, written in my nose, it just says, ew.
I don't understand. Ugh. We can't hire individuals that, you know...
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, this was the 1800s. This slavery is still rolling.
Right.
Harder. And we still use prison labor.
Oh, yeah.
Today. Like, yeah. Gross. Anyway, they then brought over some skilled stonesmen from Europe to work on the building. So I assume they made the, you know, prison laborers and slaves, like, dig out the foundation and do all the stuff that they didn't want to pay people to
do. What a dichotomy. We're having prisoners and slave labor, but we also have these specialty craftsmen from Europe.
Interesting. This was a bad time. This is not a good time. Anyway, okay, so they brought all these people from Europe to work on the building, and then in 1861, construction was interrupted by that little thing called the Civil War.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That happened.
Yeah.
The partially built hospital and the grounds around it became a Union camp, so for the North. Camp Tyler is what it was called. Mm-hmm. And in 1864, Confederate troops raided and stripped the hospital of all the food and clothing that was intended for the first group of patients. So put them behind a little bit.
Yeah.
So they had to kind of get it back together. Well, the next year, the first patient was admitted. Do you want to take any kind of guesses on what she was admitted for?
Did she talk back to her husband?
Yeah, I think that was probably part of it. They had it labeled in their records, and the records were really well kept, which is what makes it so interesting. She had domestic trouble.
Didn't get along with her husband.
Didn't want to clean the floor that day, I guess, or something like that.
Oh, so he had her involuntarily committed, IBC'd.
Yeah, sounds like it. So she was committed there because of domestic trouble. And this kind of goes into kind of how crazy the diagnoses were for people to be admitted to the hospital at this time. So some of the diagnoses from the first logbook included grief, congestion of the brain, feebleness of intellect, seduction, and novel reading.
Oh my God, you would never get out.
I would be there for life. I'd be a lifer.
Novel reading, and not even like inappropriate, like sexualized novels. Just like
novel reading. I think if it wasn't the Bible, it was not allowed.
My my God. If you had Harry Potter, you're screwed.
You're done.
Or even Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, you're out.
That's it.
And right into that lunatic asylum. Oh, there you go.
And Seduction.
Seduction. Congestion of the brain, which I'm congested right now, so.
Yeah, I mean, it could just be allergies.
Yeah.
But congestion of the brain, that was their way of saying she wasn't thinking clearly.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm. Feebleness of intellect was a really fun one, too, I thought.
Feeble at what? You made a poor decision, and now you're feeble-minded? Or is that their way of saying developmentally delayed?
I think it's probably more that.
Okay.
But, like, the language is just fascinating to me here.
For sure.
I'm just really into seduction and novel reading, so I would be, like, yeah. I'm in there for life.
That's what I was going to say. You're good luck.
I'm never getting out. Yeah. You're right. So in the 1800s, the asylums were pretty much just used as dumping grounds for society's unwanted. And some of the reasons for being committed also included laziness, religious enthusiasm, menopause, superstition, domestic trouble, masturbation, and tuberculosis.
So every man was in there.
Yeah, every man was in there. And
every woman over 50 was in there.
Yeah. I was in there for superstition, I guess, because of my ghost problem.
Oh my gosh, I'd be in there
Laziness,
too.
I'm there all the time.
I can be.
Don't have tuberculosis, so good there.
But, I mean, did they, if you had tuberculosis, that's not a mental illness, that's a health issue. So were you kept separate?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, so active TB patients were just milling around someone who refused to clean the floor.
Probably, yeah. I think they did have, like, a TB wing, but I'm sure it wasn't, like...
Yeah, like...
You know.
Don't go in there. They've got the tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Hmm. So, the original building was built to house about 250 patients, and the hospital was actually pretty self-sufficient. They raised their own vegetables, had their own dairy herd, and had an ice plant. A nearby coal mine supplied fuel and heat, and they had a reservoir for water. And all the clothing, curtains, and fabric were made at Weston, as well as their mattresses. And most of the furniture was all made at the hospital.
Made by patients.
Yes, and this was kind of the idea of the 19th century, that institutions should be self-sufficient and that, quote-unquote, mental patients should learn a trade. That they should have, learn a skill to be able to contribute to society.
That's very prison-like.
Yeah, a little bit, yep. So, there was also a cemetery on the grounds, because during this time, asylums were not places where people went to get better. It was really a place for people to be dropped off, and that was where they, you know, lived the rest of their days. Yeah, so whether you were dropped off at 7, or... 97. That's where you were. Because there were kids at this place, too. Like, it was all ages.
And you couldn't get out. Like, once you were put in, unless a doctor said, oh, you're healed, you're not going to speak back to your husband, you can leave. That was it. And if someone was willing to take you.
Right, yeah. A lot of times people would just drop them off and be like, see you never.
And imagine this was very rural, right?
Yeah, this is West Virginia. So this is not like... And in the, 1800s. There's not a whole lot happening.
I'm not seeing this as New York City.
No. So they had a clock tower built and completed in 1871. And this was kind of designed to hold offices for staff. And actually had a ballroom in it.
In a clock tower?
In a clock tower.
Must have been a huge-ass clock tower.
It was. I think it was kind of like more... a building that had a clock tower sticking out of the top of it.
Okay.
From the pictures I've seen, I don't think it was just, one singular tower.
Yeah, because you just think, skinny brick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. In 1873, separate rooms for black patients were completed. So before 1873, there were only white people at the asylum.
Wow.
So in 1873, they completed, a separate wing to house black patients because segregation was a
Jim Crow. Yeah.
Yep, that was all happening. It's still happening. Anyway, Construction continued into 1881. The total cost, so think about this in terms of 1881. The total cost was $725,000 for this building.
That's immense.
It's a lot. This is $300,000 over budget. So well, they were budgeted, what is that, $525,000?
Yeah. Well, because they got stonemasons from Europe to come and hand cut it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it sounds pretty fancy.
In the end, more than 700 patients were housed in the building.
But it was only room for 250, correct?
So at this point, no. They had kept on adding wings and stuff, but they were, I mean, it was still overcrowded.
Sounds like it.
But
I mean, I'm envisioning just people milling around, just massive groups of people.
Yep. So this is in 1881 when the construction's continuing. So there's more than 700 patients in the building that, you know, they're working on.
Wow.
The walls were made to be 2.5 feet thick to muffle screams of more deranged patients. So, like, the neighboring towns couldn't hear people
screaming. That is terrifying.
And we're going to hop on over into the 19th century and talk about some of the treatments for mental illness. So we've got things like bloodletting and insulin coma therapy being used. Seclusion cells were often used to contain violent patients. Now in the early 20th century, so not a whole lot's happened in the 19th century.
Yeah.
You know, we're, you know, we've got all the construction going on. We've built the, you know, the wings and all this stuff. And you've got kind of the start of quote-unquote treatment.
Gotcha.
So we're moving to the 20th century now. Ton of overcrowding. Funding was cut substantially, and that, you know, caused a lot of issues.
I think that's a running theme in mental health. Funding is always cut.
Yes, yes, yes. In 1930, a building to house TB patients was finally built, because that was kind of the surge of tuberculosis.
Right.
So they've got, you know, their own building now.
Good.
So they're not in with everybody else. There were several fires set by patients over the years. Some fire-setting behaviors happening.
Burn the mother down.
Yep. The biggest one was in October of 1935, which actually destroyed the fourth floor of the hospital, but nobody was injured in it. So that was good. In 1938, the hospital was home to 1,661 patients.
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yep.
Where are they putting these people?
Anywhere and everywhere.
No regard for...
No, these aren't people at this point to them.
This is cattle.
This is cattle. They're like herding cattle at this point. A survey around this time reported that the patients were epileptics, alcoholics, drug addicts, and non-educable mental defects. So now we're housing people who don't actually have anything wrong with them, like any mental health concerns. We're housing criminals. We're housing folks with addiction problems. We're housing folks with underlying medical conditions and intellectually disabled individuals. All in like one. There's no like separate things. They're just all together in this building.
So your kiddo with autism is right next to that murderer, potentially.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. I have so many thoughts, and I'm just not going to go there because I'm pissed.
It's a lot. It's going to get worse. In 1949, there were 1,800 patients. It was reported that the facility had poor sanitation, insufficient furniture, lighting, and heating.
No shit.
Right.
Probably lots of shit.
Yeah,
I mean,
so much.
So shit everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like, oh my God.
In 1950, the capacity reached its peak at 2,400 patients. This is 10 times the amount of patients the hospital is built for.
Oh, but we finally reached our capacity.
Yeah.
Which means every corner
oh, yeah.
is taken up by someone.
Yeah. Yep. There's just, I mean, it was chaos. This was the worst time to be a patient there. Overcrowding made people lose their minds.
Obviously.
Anyone who complained about the conditions were sent to solitary confinement, where they would be chained to a wall of an empty room and left there for months. This little look on Alex's face currently.
Months. They were, hopefully they were fed.
I would assume they were, yeah.
Cared for in that way. Oh my God.
Like probably tossed in like a piece of bread. I mean, and some
so
cheese.
If you didn't go in there losing your mind, you came out.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Batshit crazy.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh my God.
During this time, there were other Superfund medical practices happening, and quote-unquote medical, like ice water baths, uh-huh. more seclusion cells, we're hopping into electroshock therapy, and everybody's favorite, lobotomies.
Transorbital?
Oh, yeah. You know it. You know it. And if you don't know what that is, this is where they shove a device up into the orbital socket of the eye and into the brain.
So basically, it's an ice pick.
Yeah, more it's or like less. An ice pick.
And it was this treatment that this doctor came up with. And basically, they take an ice pick through your eye, transorbital, and it goes up into your brain. And so what they were thinking is we can basically shove this up and like mess around in your brain, and that will get the wires working again, and you will be functional. This will be helpful to you. It'll be great. Well, it all turned out to be a fraud because these things were done and it actually caused people to be completely in a vegetative state. Mm-hmm. Tinkering with the brain in a way that is not sanitary, scientific. I mean, it was just asinine.
But they're not, you know, running around screaming anymore, so it obviously worked.
Well, see, that's what it was. Well, we're keeping them quiet. Yeah, they're drooling on themselves now because... Mm-hmm. Their brain function.
Shoved in their frontal lobe.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just barbaric.
Yes. And it's not done anymore, thank God.
Yes.
In 1952, one doctor performed 228 lobotomies during a 2-week period. It was called Operation Ice Pick.
Oh, I bet it was.
It's not funny, but I'm so uncomfortable.
You know, I feel like maybe the doctor should have spent a little been ice picked. You know, that just makes me so angry. And how many people died of infection? How many people were essentially zombies after this? Oh, yes, it's really helped them.
Please. And, I mean, at that time, though, they really thought, like, this is it. We've solved it. This is how you
Such
handle
ignorance.
It. Yeah.
Just absolute ignorance.
Yep. It's not great. You know, overcrowding causes a lot of problems. And one of those problems was violence. Patients started killing other patients at this point. More so than, you know, in the past. Two patients decided they were going to hang one of their fellow patients using bed sheets. When he did not die, they cut him down, used the metal bed frame to crush his skull. Staff were often the victims of violence as well. A nurse actually went missing. And this is just kind of a testament to how well they were being monitored. And, you know, there were sweeps done in the hallway. Like now, I mean, they're still inpatient psychiatric facilities.
Right.
But they're very heavily monitored. Yes. Like, constant checks, like every, it was like 10 minutes. There's a check. So this nurse's body was found 2 months later at the bottom of an unused staircase.
Nobody, so that also speaks to sanitation, that nobody smelled a rotting corpse and went, something smells weird. Nobody
no,
said that.
No, there was nothing.
Yeah. Oh, just two. And nobody said, where's Linda?
I haven't seen Linda in a couple weeks.
Haven't. Linda? Linda didn't show up for work. Maybe we should call out. Oh, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
What the hell? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm over here stewing. It's fine.
So in 1960, they decided, hey, we should build a morgue.
I mean, obviously.
So they built the morgue in 1960. We're going to jump to 1985.
Oh, wow.
We're making a big jump here. So just keep imagining like chaos and just absolute pandemonium.
Even from 1960 to 85.
Oh, yeah. Just crazy.
Okay, so 25 extra years of crazy. Yes.
25 more years of crazy. In 85, an investigation was completed by some reporters and court-appointed inspectors. So this will make you mad, too. They found that the asylum was dirty and unkempt. They saw that many patients were naked and confined to dirty wards with bathrooms smeared with feces. They decided, keep it open.
Of course.
7 years later, in 1992, reporters again reported about the terrible conditions. That year, a patient named George Edward Bodie died after getting into a fight with another patient. And patient Brian Scott B. committed suicide in his cell, was not found for 8 days.
So we've kind of kept up this trend of we're not monitoring our patients.
Yeah.
And not only monitor, clearly he wasn't being fed. He wasn't being checked on, supported. What the hell?
Yeah, to have been 8 days.
I'd kill myself too.
Yeah, same.
Oh my gosh.
So that all happened in 92. Hospital stayed open for another 2 years and shut down in 1994.
So, well over 100 years, this place is allowed to keep going, even in modern times.
Oh, yeah.
Modern times.
This was still happening.
Oh, my gosh. This is egregious. I'm so pissed.
Yeah. So, we're shut down in 1994.
Praise God. It's about time.
It's emptied. It's vacant. Nothing really happens with it until 2007. When it was auctioned off for $1.5 million. Somebody bought it. It is now open for historic tours and paranormal tours.
We need to go there. We need to go there.
We have to go. I looked it up and they're open now because like COVID they weren't, but they're open now.
Oh gosh.
So we gotta go.
Okay.
The hospital has actually been featured on several paranormal shows, like Ghost Hunters type stuff. So I haven't watched any episodes, but now I want to go back and watch them.
Yeah, I'm going to look at that tonight. So, I won't sleep.
Now that we have some of the history, which is a long and complicated one.
But fascinating. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So you guys kind of got the backstory now of what this place is. We're going to talk about some of the ghosts that are there.
I'm so excited. I'm just like getting closer to you, like, tell me more.
Like giggling on the couch over here. It's hilarious.
I'm a dork.
So the hauntings actually started while the hospital was still a hospital. Several staff quit after only being there a few days because of the ghosts. So, like, they couldn't handle the ghosts. They would hear things like gurneys rolling down empty hallways. And there were other, like, unexplained noises and sightings that they would see. And they were like, yeah, no, not for me. I'm out.
I love this because I feel like this is their ultimate revenge.
Oh, yeah. They just rise up and are just... causing
like, look at this, blankety blankers. Take this. I can't say that word on our podcast, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're losing it. Over 2,000 people are buried in the cemetery at the asylum. There are Civil War ghosts, there are ghosts of patients, and there are ghosts of staff, all reported at the hospital.
That's a lot of people.
Staff and visitors have reported seeing ghostly figures walking the hallways at night. One of the doctors actually reported that a ghost followed her home and keeps bothering her to this day.
Oh my god.
Which I get because my ghost followed me home.
Where did he come from?
He was one of my patients.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah, that I worked with. He just is home, but he's chilling with
me
now.
He is chill. He's pretty
cool. But he's really chill. These ghosts aren't chill.
So, I mean, that just shows these are ghosts with a vengeance because usually they kind of keep wandering that same place. And Do these ghosts, like, interact with each other? Like, we talked a couple weeks ago about that Brown Mountain and Symposium and, if we were ghosts. Mm-hmm. But honestly, would they interact with each other? You know, would it be like, I fought for the Union, you know, and I died. And then somebody who's like, I was in here for, you know, reading novels.
Right.
You know? And I was a nurse who didn't watch anybody. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like, do they interact?
I hope so.
Oh, that would kind of be cool. Maybe they can team up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this tell
one,
me more. Yeah,
this one attached to this doctor and just, like, hit the road with her and just...
And he's still just, he or she still is like, ding dong.
Yeah. From what the article I read was like, yeah, it's a continued haunting.
She's going to have to call a priest.
Yeah, you got to get some sage in there ASAP. Yeah. There were also reports of people seeing a ball of light moving in the hallways and seeing ghosts dressed in white. So probably like staff uniforms. Mm. The first floor of the building, we're going to kind of go floor by floor here.
Nice.
The first floor is called the Civil War Wing, and it is the oldest part of the hospital. The ghost that haunts this part of the building is named Ruth. Ruth apparently hates men and throws things at them.
You're damn right, Ruth. Do it.
Which is like my girl Ruth. Yes.
She
up top, also Ruth. Shoves people up against the wall.
Wow.
And whistles in the hallway.
You know, she's kind of a Jane of all trades.
She is. She's whistling. She's chucking things at people, throwing them against walls. I love it.
I appreciate in the end how happy she is.
Yeah.
You know, I love it.
Just doing her thing. All right. Ward 2, on the second floor, there were some pretty violent deaths. One patient was stabbed about 17 times by another patient. In another room, two patients committed suicide. There are shadow figures on this hallway. Mm. And EVPs, which are the electronic or something voice phenomenon, mm-hmm. which there's like a little, if you've watched any ghost shows, they use it all the time, like a little machine that, you know, you can pick up voices, like scans.
And, you know, sometimes they record it, so you'll hear things like, mm-hmm. help me, or something like that.
Like, the science behind it is that it plays all these frequencies, and it's mm-hmm. easier for something on a different plane to be able to...
have a voice,
pick
so
up on those frequencies and use them to manipulate those to communicate. Anyway, I've heard some pretty, like, crazy EVPs that I'm like, I buy it. I'm into it. So, there have been some really weird ones picked up by paranormal investigators of someone saying, get out, which is like a common one, like people hear it all the time on that floor. The third floor is where those two patients tried to hang that guy, but then, you know, he didn't die, so they like crushed him with a bed frame.
As one does.
Casual.
Right.
It's not. I know we Saturday. Make light of this, and
it's not.
But we're just so uncomfy right now.
Well, I think, and you tend to be more uncomfortable with the hard stuff.
I deflect by using humor.
Yeah, it's good.
I've worked a lot of really like
intense jobs.
There's been a lot of death in my jobs, some of my jobs that I've worked. You deflect with humor.
You do. And honestly, I think in the fields that we've worked in our life, if you don't, you'll just cry.
If you don't laugh, you're going to cry about it. That is true. So we just have to laugh about it.
And we express ourselves in different ways when we're talking about things that are difficult. So bear with us.
Yes.
But nonetheless, so third floor,
guy who got his skull crushed.
Right.
This guy is said to haunt the room where that happened, which makes sense.
Oh, totally.
I would also haunt it.
Yeah.
There's another ghost on this floor named Big Jim.
Well, howdy, Jim.
I don't really know what Big Jim does. It didn't give me a whole lot of information on Big Jim, but I think he just hangs out.
I kind of like that. Hey, Big Jim.
There's also a ghost of a nurse named Elizabeth that hangs out on this floor. On this floor, there are also shadow figures, doors that close by themselves, lots of weird noises that have been picked up by those EVPs.
So, Haley, when we're going there, mm-hmm. which floor would be your, like, I want that one? Like, what would be your go-to of the four floors? The Civil War floor,
the next floor, because it's got my favorite thing on it.
The second floor?
No, the fourth floor.
Oh, the fourth floor.
Yep, that we're about to talk about. That's my favorite.
Okay, what is it? What is it?
Okay, so there has been, on the fourth floor, there's a ghost child named Lily who sits in a room with toys and waits for someone to play with her. She has been reported being seen in a white dress, looks to be about 9 years old. She likes to play games. Toys move on their own. A music box turns on by itself in the room. Lily reportedly spent her entire life in the asylum. Her short life there. There was one story where she was dropped off there by her parents and just left. Another story says that she was born in the asylum, that her mother was a patient there. And she was born there and lived there her whole life. It is reported that she died at age 9 from pneumonia.
Oh, heartbreaking.
So, I think there is a record of her, because I got all this from the historical site for this building.
Gotcha.
So, I assume there's, like, a record of all this. They don't just, like, make it up.
Okay, so, just hearing about Big Jim, Nurse, and Lily, I want to go to the fourth floor. Let's do it together.
Yeah.
Actually, you're going to have to hold my hand.
We can spend the night there.
F no.
You wouldn't go and stay there.
No.
I would. I'd totally do it.
Are you freaking crazy? No, I would not spend that. First of all, just hearing about the conditions, I wouldn't. Even though, you know, they've cleaned the place up and it's a museum and da 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 da. Hell no. I would stay at a hotel nearby and then drive back during the daytime while you're holding my hand.
Okay. I'll be there at night.
You are crazy AF. Crazy.
We haven't even got to my favorite part about the fourth floor.
Okay.
The kid wasn't my favorite part.
Really? Because that is one of my faves.
So there's also, before we get to that one, there's also a soldier that walks around this floor. They call him Jacob.
Why not?
He's just like chilling on the floor. My favorite thing about this floor, it's called the Creeper. It's this big black mass of just energy or shadow. Like, it doesn't really have a form. It's just a big black mass, and it just like creeps along the floor.
It's called the Creeper. So demonic.
Like, I'm
going to wear a crucifix when I go in there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get some holy water and just be you know,
yeah,
in the name of God, stay away. You know.
Yeah, so that's my, like, that's my favorite part. It's the Creeper. I want to see that.
On the floor. I don't want to see the Creeper. I will let you see that. And you'll probably see it at night.
Probably.
You know. So we'll let that creep on you. but I want to see the kid. I really want to play with her. Yeah. I feel like she needs that.
Well, and I feel like you have the type of energy and, like, personality that I think she would probably be pretty active with you.
Yeah, she'd want to play with
me. Like, she would feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm out there being like, where's this creeper?
Where's the creeper? And I feel like Big Jim and I would get along well, you know, because I could just, maybe you want a drink? And I would say, yeah, thanks, Big Jim.
See, I want the creeper and I want to hang out with the lady that throws shit at people.
See, this is the difference in our personality. the mother in me comes out and I want to mother sweet little Lily.
Yeah.
And then, like, the girl, the woman wife in me comes out and I'm like, hey, let's have a drink. You want me to change your tire while I'm at it? Go for it, Big Jim. And meanwhile, you're over there with the satanic creepy ass blob and the nurse who's throwing feces at people.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
That sounds about right. I mean,
you're not wrong.
I mean, it just speaks to our characters.
Yep. So there is also lots of other, like, creepy sounds, laughter, doors slamming, screaming, and other such things.
Do you think you would even make it one night, like, the whole night, like, sleep?
I don't think I'd sleep, no. Maybe, I don't know.
Do you think you would run screaming, though?
No.
Really? That,
stuff doesn't, like, freak me out, though. Because I don't, I think because I'm of the mindset, like, they're not going to hurt me.
I think they could hurt you.
I think they could, but I don't think... I have respect for them. I'm not there to, like, taunt them. I just smacked my microphone. Sorry. Yeah.
Maybe
I'm,
you are.
Yeah, maybe I am. I'm not there to, like, taunt them or anything. I'm there just to be like, hey, what's up?
I just don't think, I don't know. I don't
with them a little bit.
Yeah, I'm glad you're wanting to vibe. You are also the person who wants to haunt when you have passed.
See, I gotta pick up some tips.
Right. Meanwhile, I am like, oh, let me connect your call for Big Jim. You know, I'm working in reception. So, you know, more power to you. While I'm at the hotel having my continental breakfast.
Mm-hmm. I'll be waking up on some dirty floor.
You'll be waking up on a dirty floor filled with feces to, you know, some blob trying to choke you.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Sounds like a good time. Yeah. When do you want to schedule it?
I mean, we can go anytime.
Okay.
So, just whenever. Some PTO lined up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Holly, where are you going on your vacation? West Virginia. Oh, what's in West Virginia? A mental hospital. You're going to a mental hospital.
Like, I'm checking in for the weekend.
I'm checking in, and sometimes you don't check out.
No, you don't.
Whew.
So that is Weston State Hospital.
Okay, so I want to go really bad in the daytime with you holding my hand, as I said.
They have, like, historical tours that you can do that I think are during the day.
Okay, I'll do that.
And then they have the paranormal tours, which are at night.
Ugh, I can't do the paranormal night.
You don't have to, like, stay there. Just kind of, they walk you through and, like...
Okay, I may be able to do the nighttime paranormal tour, but I sure as heck am not spending the night. I'll let you do it and report back.
I'll let you know. We'll have an updated
situation
here. Okay,
you do it.
I just, there's something about that just really, like, I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you are. I want to experience it, but in the daytime and then drive home.
Yeah.
Process it.
Yeah, I'm going to need to take a couple days off work.
I may be off work for about a month just to, you know, I need to check how much PTO I have. How much will they pay me to just be out and be processing?
Right. It's just going to be a wild time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great, though.
Yeah.
Poof.
Wow. Well, I really enjoyed this.
I really enjoyed researching it. It was a ton of fun.
Really cool. I love to look up things on YouTube about these kinds of places, and I don't know why. It's kind of the sickness in me, but I do really like that.
Oh, gosh.
Well, Haley, do you have a shout out?
I do. I do have one.
And is it West Virginia?
It's not. Okay. It is Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Michael Scott. I'm sorry, Scranton. I know you probably get that a lot. So
I know. Isn't that where the president's from?
I believe he is from Scranton. From yes.
Good
yes,
old
indeed.
Joe Biden.
Yeah.
From Scranton.
Joe is from Scranton.
Scranton.
PA.
Love it.
Love it.
Never been to Scranton.
I have not been to Scranton, but I have been to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I've driven through Pennsylvania several times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's my location for the week.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, now, in case you guys are interested in hearing more, or in case you guys want to share with us your own ghost stories or recommendations to cover, Haley, how can they get in touch with us?
Yeah, you can send us an email at mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Mountain Mysteries Tales from Appalachia, or find us on Instagram at mountainmysteries.appalachia.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Keep us in the loop about your own ghost stories. And in a couple weeks, we actually have a lady who's going to be sharing her personal ghost story, which I can't wait.
Yeah, we're gonna get that in here. We'll sprinkle it in where we feel. It'll be a really good time.
Yeah, can't wait.
We've been trying to get her on the podcast forever and just... I mean, she'll tell you about her, like, life and work and everything, but just her schedule's, like, the craziest thing.
I know,
I've
we've been
seen.
Trying to nail her down for months.
I know. Her so schedule's I'm super just excited about absolutely that. Insane. Yeah. But it's going to happen. I'm excited.
Woo-hoo, yeah. All right, you guys, tune in next week for episode 35.
Jeez, that's crazy.
I know. We're moving right along.
Whew, 35. We'll see you next week.
Have a good one.
Bye. Bye.